is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomTheGiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 20th of February. My name's Davey McGimsey. Paddy's away in Canada, so hosting this week we have sometime Steeler but full-time Giants fan Mark Hitchcock. We look back at a frustrating weekend on the road and look forward to the Challenge Cup quarter-final in Manchester. We're shaking things up a bit this week, two shorter shows with the midweek game, so we'll be back with a second helping later in the week, looking at the Cup game and onwards to the Coventry games at the SSE this weekend. We chat with newest Giant David Rutherford, Manchester Dorm head coach Omar Pasha. We'll have a listen again to Derek Walser's post-game comments after Cardiff and much more in between. If you want to get in touch, you can at all the usual places. Email us, podcast@kingdomthegiants.com, Twitter @AVFTB, Instagram, SoundCloud, Facebook and so on. But for now, Mark Hitchcock, it's over to you.
So good evening and welcome to this week's, well, first half of A View from the Bridge. As Davey has probably already told you, Mr. Patrick Smith is over in Canada sending us pictures of his adventures while we all sit working hard back in the great United Kingdom. I'm joined, as ever, by the other two members of A View from the Bridge. Firstly, a big hello. You've just heard him, but that was pre-recorded. It's Davey McGimsey. Hello.
Hello, Hitchy. Good to have you on board, mate.
It's an absolute treat. Pleasure. Also, this is the first time, I believe, I've hosted since the prodigal son returned, replacing Neil Russell in a whirlwind of passion and glory. It's Mr. Aaron Kernahan. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Hitchy. How are you?
I'm great. So, we've got half the agenda to go through this evening. We're going to cover the rest after Wednesday's game. So, we're going to look back on two big, big key games for the Belfast Giants this past weekend. Two road games, of course, following the doubleheader at home with Sheffield. They went to Nottingham and Cardiff. I will also be looking ahead to tomorrow night's huge crunch game in the Challenge Cup as they face the Manchester Storm at the Drizzle Dome. Davey, we'll start off with the game in Nottingham. I believe you've been able to watch that game back. Now, the Giants were very disappointed to come away from the Sheffield doubleheader with nil point. It was a big opportunity to get back on track.
It was, and I think that through periods of the game, certainly through the second period, we showed the kind of team we can be. There was times in the first period we didn't get an awful lot of shots on their new goalie, Matalora, and after the second period and we've came out of it with a 2-1 lead, you think there's a chance here of going on to a very good road victory, but we've let in a bit of a soft goal. I think there's maybe a bit of a deflection on it that'd be fair to Murphy to make it 2-2, and then we've given away a criminal shorthanded goal. I think that's our ninth of the season that lets them back into the game. Lakovic, after talking about him on the podcast last week, is perhaps being a bit of a weak link for Nottingham this season, skates the length of the ice and, you know, gets Murphy out of position and scores the shorthanded unassisted goal, and then they go on obviously and score the empty netter to take the ice the game with and get the 2 points. But you know, it wasn't a terrible performance, but it was, once again, it wasn't that 60 minute performance that Walser's always talking about. You know, we got a lot of shots in the second period, we controlled the play, but the other two periods we weren't really in the game enough.
Well, the Panthers went ahead in the first period through Robert Farmer. The Giants then fighting back in the second session. They actually went into the second period break 2-1 up with goals from Forney and Raja. And a third period collapse of sorts with Schultz, Lakovic and Kolnick made it 4-2 to the Nottingham Panthers. Arne, do you concur with Davey? Just not enough on the night?
I think so, yeah. I mean, sort of following the game, and again, haven't watched the game in full, I've watched parts of it and I've caught the highlights and seeing sort of what went on around Twitter. A lot of people sort of, especially of a Nottingham persuasion, seem to blame Stephen Murphy for it, but I don't think that's fair. I think he made, over the course of the night, a lot of big saves, and yeah, a couple of the goals maybe weren't ones he would have liked to have let in, but, you know, looking at again, we've given up a lot of power play opportunities again there. Now, in fairness, our penalty kills come through for us, but it seems to, again, it's just bad penalties. They're tearing us out, and with a couple of guys, you know, with a shorter roster than the Panthers are able to ice, you know, I think it's just caught up with us in the end there in the third period after fighting so hard in the second to get ahead.
You know, Hitchy, you were at the game, and you can come back to it there in a wee second. Just what Aaron's saying there, and it carried through to Saturday night. We've been going on a lot about getting into penalty trouble, and if you look at the penalties, hooking, tripping, slashing, you know, the lazy penalties, if you want to call them, the penalties that you don't need to take, and a game about moving your feet. You know, as Simon Kitchen-Law was going on about there, the lazy penalties in play, and they're causing us dear because the attrition that it's causing then for the rest of the team, especially when we've made that decision to go with 5D again rather than the 6D, and, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are penalties against D-men. You know, it leaves you even shorter bench and leaves other players just tired out by the end of the game and caught up with us in the third period.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as from being at the game on Friday night, I think what really stood out for me is, and I've seen it so, I've seen it in other games with Belfast this season, is taking penalties and when you're in the offensive zone as well. So not necessarily penalties, clever penalties to produce a good scoring opportunity for the opposition. And there was a couple of occasions in particular where I saw the Giants take a 2-minute minor behind the net of Madalora, however you pronounce it. But the key incident for me on the night is the incident that killed the game. Ironically, Dops are reviewing Clark for the 2+10 check to the head, which we'll cover in a second. But 10 seconds into that penalty kill, and the Nottingham Panthers, they score a short-handed, cracking one-on-one short-handed goal from Lakovic. But Arne, you've got to say that one moment really just killed the momentum of what looked like it was going to be a sterling comeback from the week before.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you say, it was the fact that it was so quick. You know, we got the penalty, we got the chance on the power play, the scores were level at the time, and then you know, it really did turn the game, and that's where you sort of do look for the, you know, I'm not, you know, you can't blame him because it was a fantastic move by Lakovic, and I think we talked about Lakovic last week with Jono as the fact that he hadn't maybe put up the points that we expect from him. But he's, you know, he's still dangerous. He got in and he pulled a good move on Murphy and scored the goal. And we've talked previously about how the heads seemed to go down. We just didn't seem to have the answer to it, unfortunately.
So, Davey, what is it? What is missing? I mean, we're going to go into the Cardiff game, which you were at shortly. People saying on the internet Murphy hung out to dry. I was there and I would 100% disagree with anyone blaming Murphy for the result. Is it the D? Are they just not being tight enough on incidents such as that short-handed goal?
I think it's a D, a team ethic. You know, Walser's been in the press, he's lambasted people hard about the compete level, and I think it means going both ways in the ice. He's talking about, you know, going to the dirty areas, but twice, okay, empty net goals, you don't have a goalie in. Twice at the weekend, we conceded very, very soft empty net goals from people just not willing to compete, people not willing to skate, and guys have to work hard. That shorthanded goal comes from a face-off 20 feet from Madalora's net. Lakovic skates the full length of the ice. Okay, the forwards are badly out of position, but he has 2 D-men to beat, and they just didn't compete hard enough to stop him scoring. Murphy, okay, that's as Aaron says, your best penalty killer has to be your goalie, but Lakovic has pulled a good move on him. I think that Murphy could be better this season. I think out of all the goals, he would have liked the first one back the most because he gets square onto the shooter and he gets popped 5-hole. Second one, I think, is deflection. The third one we've just talked about, and the fourth one's an empty netter. So, you know, I just think there needs to be a higher compete level all over the ice. The Giants seem to have just taken their eye off the ball ever so slightly. We went through a really great run. We really knew how important those Sheffield games were. And I think there's an element of stage fright might be a bit harsh, but we just didn't perform to the way this team can. There are a couple of the big guys and a couple of the lines that were out there at the weekend could have done a whole lot better, could have produced more of what you expect from them. The line of Benedict, Forney and Higgins, I thought were really good on Friday night in Nottingham, and they were exceptional on Saturday night in Cardiff. You know what you're going to get from a line with, you know, Kiefer and Lloyd on it. There was different people centering that line, but you get all energy. But the big line just didn't do it for me at the weekend.
Well, it didn't get any easier, did it, for the Belfast Giants following that game in Nottingham, as they, on Saturday night, had to travel south to Cardiff. Probably, well, there's no probably about it. It is the toughest rink in the league right now to grind results from. The Giants with 2 goals from Higgins and a 3rd from Wilson, but the Cardiff Devils scoring 5 on the night through Russell, Hudson, Martin, Culligan and Doucette. The Giants went 1-0 up, Davey, and I'll come back to you firstly because you were there. I mean, at 1-0 and also with the mini comeback during the game, it seemed like there was a lot more fight in the Giants on Saturday night.
Well, talking of fighting, you know, the first interaction of the game was for Hendricks and Nickerson to drop the gloves right off the first face-off, and that was to really set the tone for the game. Unfortunately, Matt Nickerson has came out of it with an injury, and interesting that Belfast didn't see fit to look at it again with Dobbs. You know, that Matt Nickerson obviously himself on Twitter has been pretty vocal that he felt Hendricks was a bit in the wrong there, but you know, the Giants came out flying. We really did. We took the game to Cardiff right from the start, and we got that early goal, and then, as we talked about previously there, we got ourselves into penalty trouble and soft penalty trouble. The cross-checking minor that Mike Wilson took was a great, a selfish play. He had 1, 2, 3 cross-checks at whoever it was he was cross-checking right in front of Dean Smith, and Smith let it go. On the fourth one, he just couldn't. I was, from where I was, right at the opposite end. You know where the away block is in Cardiff. It was right at the opposite end, and you were looking at him going, jeez, can't believe Smith hasn't called that. He cross-checked him again, and Smith is what? And just bang. And you can't, you just look at, I was standing with Jake Proctor, and we just looked at each other going, what was he doing? And they went on to the power play, and they scored within 30 seconds. And then Chris Beach takes a cross-checking minor. They score within 4 seconds. And then, you know, I think it was Kiefer takes a holding minor, which I thought was a pretty harsh call, and they score within 30 seconds. You were down there on Sunday night. Cardiff's power play is exceptional. And we give them 3 looks, and they scored 3 goals in the first, you know, 15 minutes of game, and we were up against it. But we came roaring back, and that was the thing. And we got back to 3-3, and it was, my goodness, this is more like us. We've got the bit between our teeth here, and we came out flat again. Once they scored that go-ahead goal, we just didn't seem to have an answer. And in the third period, we huffed and puffed, and I spoke to Derek Walser afterwards. I thought it was a more complete performance, a pretty good road performance. He disagreed. Wholeheartedly, he thought we played for 30 minutes of that game. It was the 10 minutes in that first period. You know, Nickerson's out. We went with 5D. We ended up, Ganzak took an injury and had to go off for stitches. So at one period through the game, we had Mike Wilson and Jeff Mason as one of the D pairs, and Derek Walser and Mark Garside as the other D pair. And you know, when you're in Cardiff and they're your 4D guys, you're going to be under a lot of pressure to win the game. And that's how it turned out. We just didn't have enough on the night.
As Davey says, Arne, it's not a rink you want to be giving up power plays opportunities to the Devils, and 3 of 6 converted by Cardiff. It's that D word again, isn't it? Discipline.
I think it has to be, and it's been a bit of a trend throughout the whole year, but it's catching up with us now. And again, it plays into, especially with the fact that we were down to really 3D men at 1.4 when Ganzak was back, and you know, it's just, guys are being expected to log huge numbers of minutes. Plus, they're spending a lot of that time, you know, trying to kill off penalties. Now, in fairness, you know, the Devils did score pretty quickly on each of the power plays, so maybe it wasn't that as tiring as it could have been if they had to work through the entire penalty kill. But yeah, you know, it's just frustrating, and especially, you know, I think I would agree with Davey in that I think this was much more close to the performance we would want and expect. And again, I wonder if the team have generally been better on the road. I wonder if that's the pressure being off, or the fact that the teams are having to come out and play maybe a slightly more offensive game than the play in Belfast. But you know, the Giants played a lot better, but it just wasn't enough. You know, and to give them credit for the weekend, I think over both games, they've actually played quite well in patches and a lot better, but unfortunately haven't taken those 2 losses at home to Sheffield the week before. Coming out of this weekend with 2 losses wasn't really what we needed or wanted.
David, going back to 4 seconds into the game, you've spoken about it very briefly, the incident with Nickerson and Hendricks. Very difficult to prove intent on it. We've seen stills, you were there live, we've seen the video back, we've seen them both tweet about it. Why did the Belfast Giants not review that?
I don't know, the Belfast Giants haven't reviewed any calls this season. I don't know whether they don't want to throw money to Dobbs on a wild goose chase, as you say, proven intent. Hendricks has came out himself and been fairly clear and said, absolute accident. Matt Nickerson's of the opposite opinion. He left the game after 4 seconds, and he left the rink on crutches. He's obviously taken a bad injury to his lower body there, and as you say, you can't prove intent from stills or a video. It doesn't look great. Hendricks didn't seem to want anything to do with the fight at all, and you know, after, you know, if you like to say, taking Nickerson down with a a bit of a trip, slew foot type trip, you know, went off celebrating. I just assumed that he didn't know that Nickerson was injured, because I don't believe that there's too many players, you know, in this league would go about celebrating their world championship win after, you know, actually hurting a guy, albeit unintentionally. So maybe the Giants just looked at that and thought, you know, they can't prove anything from that angle, so, you know, we'll just leave it. And Nickerson will hopefully get his day in the sun later on in the season to come up against Hendricks again, and they can sort out mano a mano.
I mean, how much of a loss is a player like Nickerson? I don't think we know yet, do we, Arne, how long he's going to be out of the lineup. I mean, he's a big presence, isn't he, on that blue line for the Giants?
He is, and you know, we've talked about the balance of the defence. He's the one guy who's sort of willing to stay back there and play the more defensive role. He's probably surpassed a lot of expectations, having come in from Fife. People maybe weren't entirely sure what they expect, but to me, I think, you know, yeah, there's been times where he's made the odd individual mistake that's cost a goal, but who on the team hasn't at one point? So yeah, I think with the balance of the day, you know, and losing the one guy who's willing to stay back there, it'll be interesting to see how we adapt over the next couple of games or longer, depending how long he's out for.
And talking about injuries, Davey, what the hell happened with the referees? I saw the game notes after saying that there was linesmen in and out like the okie-cokie. Dean Smith was off, on and off the ice. What on earth was going on there?
Well, Dean Smith took a bit of an injury at the start of, I think it was about the third period, maybe 3 or 4 months in the third period. He had to leave the ice for a period, and the team sort of hung about, and we didn't know what was happening, whether he was going to be back. And we started again with just the two linesmen just doing it themselves, and a few minutes later Smith returned, but he couldn't last. And Matt Rose took over, and actually he was tweeting Matt on Sunday morning. He did really, really well. He's a big lad. He stood up tall. He had really good body language. He spoke to players, and it seemed to be the conversations were respectful, going both ways. I didn't see any player trying to take advantage that this is a lino in here, you know, rather than a referee. Let's, you know, see what we can. I thought he had an excellent, whatever it was, 15 minutes a game. They had a spur lino in the crowd, or a fourth official, whatever. I'm not sure whether they have fourth officials or not, but he was able to come on, and I thought the referee the remainder of the game really, really well.
Well, it wasn't to be for the Giants in Cardiff on Saturday night, and 3 out of 6 power plays converted. And as Davey says, I was there on Sunday for the Steelers game, 4 out of 7. I think the lesson we've all learned is don't give the Cardiff Devils power play opportunities at home. Davey caught up after the game with coach Derek Walser.
Joined post-game with coach Derek Walser. And coach, more of a 60-minute performance for us tonight, but ultimately we've just came up a wee bit short.
Well, it wasn't 60 minutes. Maybe 30. We didn't show up the first period, but you know what? It's a tough building. They come out real hard. You know, we gave up 3 goals. You know, unfortunately, you know, I try to clear a puck and hits the stick and gives them the third one. We do a great job battling back, showing character, and then, you know, as soon as we get a 3-3, we gave up again another puck where I don't think we work hard enough to help each other out, and we couldn't find a way in the third period to really get much traction. It was a tough one. It's the fourth one in the row. But all in all, like I said, it's for myself, I'm really starting to see how the league is and starting to understand. And I'm starting to really see what changes need to be done in the future for us, for the Giants, to compete and to get back to where they need to be. And, you know, we're going to add a player here shortly, and it's coming, and he's going to help us. But right now is forget about it. Get ready for the Challenge Cup against Manchester, and try to get back on the winning track.
As a coach, you have to make tough decisions. You chose tonight to go with a 5-day, and obviously then the injury to Matt in the first sort of 5 seconds of the game makes it very hard. It's a physical game, and you're playing with 4 and sometimes 3-D with Gonzak obviously taking the injury. Did that just take its toll eventually in the third period?
Well, the decision to go with 5 was, you know, I don't think Johan's played well enough, in my opinion, to deserve to stay in the lineup all night. You know, he's been average the last 3 games against big games, so I decided to change it up and give Mace an opportunity, and I thought Mace did a good job. He worked hard, he battled, he did the best he could. We didn't lose tonight because Johan was out, Mace was in. It was one of those things that it's a coaching decision. We're trying to keep lines together, trying to get some firepower, because you really look how other teams are built. A lot of the top teams are 3 lines heavy, and I think that's a little bit of a difference right now. We're about 2 lines heavy, and if one of the lines isn't going, we're having a tough time to find more offense.
obviously brought David Rutherford in today, club announced this afternoon, we'll go to Manchester on Wednesday night in the Challenge Cup now. Is the Challenge Cup just an opportunity to take the pressure off the guys without not being in the league?
Well, one, it's a test. You know, tonight was guys to show up because, you know what, someone's going to be unhappy because someone's not going to play against Manchester. And Rutherford's going to step in and he's going to play. I like the way he plays. He goes to the net. He goes to the hard areas. That's why we were attracted to him, because he brings the things that we don't do on a consistent basis, and he's effective.
Coach, safe travels back to Belfast.
Thank you very much.
So thank you there for the interview, Davey, and for Derek Walser for his time at the game on Saturday, rather. Aaron, brutally honest there from the coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've sort of come to expect from him over the year. So far, you know, he's quite a passionate guy. You know, he's really bought into the Belfast Giants and trying to do a really good job and bring the team on. You know, with a really bad year last year, I think he knows that. He's got some pretty high standards and some pretty big targets. And the last few weeks, things maybe haven't quite gone right for the team. And he's learning very quickly that, you know, being a coach maybe isn't the easiest, but yeah, I mean, it was very honest, and you know, it was quite interesting to hear him pick out. I think he threatened it a while back that he would start naming guys, but it was interesting that he's actually named one guy in particular, you know, in this interview as to why he sat him out.
And Davey, what's your opinion on naming names? I mean, we've had it before in other rinks in the Elite League. Certain players being called out for performances that were below par. Do you think it's fair to do so? What's your take on it?
I think a good coach will know which players can take the pat on the back and which ones need to boot up the backside. And, you know, Johan Edepam's been around the game an awful long time, and I would assume the coach knows, you know, that he'll be able to deal with it. He's a big boy. He's experienced. He needs to be better. He hasn't been great over the last, you know, two weekends. He hasn't, the Sheffield games weren't his best games in the shirt, and he just maybe hasn't produced as much as Walser is wanting. You know, Walser's seeing him every day in training. We're seeing him at weekends, and that's it. So he's maybe just not putting in the shift that Walser needs. He put Jeff Mason back in the lineup. He sat Jeff Mason on Friday night. You know, Mace will probably feel a bit aggrieved about that, but he came back in the lineup and worked his tail off on Saturday night. So, you know, you get that rebound effect, and now obviously with Nickerson perhaps being injured and maybe not able to play this week, you've got Edepam will have to come in and have a big game now. So, you know, he knows those coaches' comments will be ringing in his ears. He'll have heard them and he'll be disappointed, okay, but he'll know that, you know, now with Rutherford coming in and with us having the extra two imports, two guys are going to be disappointed every night. It means everyone has to redouble their efforts and work extra hard to get their ice time.
Well, following Friday and Saturday's games, and also the games on Sunday night, the Giants have now slipped down to sixth in the Elite League standings. 11 points behind the Cardiff Devils, albeit with three games in hand. There's a lot of different varying games played in the Elite League, so it's very difficult to see where everyone really does sit. Guys, I'm going to ask you frankly, we're going to move on to looking at the Cup game in a second, and we'll also mention the new signing. Is the title race over for the Giants? Aaron?
I don't think it's over, but I think it's hanging on by the thinnest of threads. I think the big issue will be really, to me, it's probably Cardiff and Bray heads to lose right now, and we're chasing.
Davey?
I think Aaron's not far wrong. You know, we've been a streaky team this season. We've won in bunches. We've lost the odd game. This is our worst, you know, run of the season, losing four in a row. Good opportunity tomorrow night to get back on the horse and turn these, you know, losses into wins, and then home and home against the Coventry Blaze the weekend. We have to win those games. Last weekend for me, I said it beforehand, but there was no more second chances. This really is it. We are now drinking in the last chance saloon. To have any, the league is tight. I still think it's Bray heads to lose. Now, ironically, I think our hard teams will cut each other up. I don't think anyone's going to deny that there'll be points taken off each other on a weekly basis. I just don't see us being able to get on enough of a run. You know, we'd need to put 10 wins in a row here to get our propel ourselves. Okay, we've played Cardiff three times and we've three games in hand on them. It's not over per se, but it's very, very critical. Now, we are really, really at the turning point of the season where we are almost so far behind that it is almost over. A really, really strong month will perhaps propel us into contention, but I think it's Bray heads to lose, and it'll be very, very difficult from here for us to win the championship.
Well, the Giants move away from league action tomorrow night, tonight, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, yesterday, if you're listening to it late. And they take on the Manchester Storm in Altrincham in the first leg of the Challenge Cup quarter-final. A new member of the lineup, I think Coach Walser said he would start on Wednesday night in Davey's interview. And David Rutherford joins the Giants from the Edinburgh Capitals, hot on the heels of the Steelers taking their top scorer, Ryan Haynes. Aaron, now this was quite a surprising. I think both signings initially from the Capitals for the Steelers and the Giants were surprising. What do you expect Rutherford's going to bring to the team and to the lineup?
Hitchie, maybe just before you let Aaron answer that there, I was got an opportunity to speak to the new signing David Rutherford earlier this afternoon, and I began by asking him, you know, why Belfast? Why now?
When you think of Belfast, it kind of reminds me of, like, say, a Montreal in the NHL. It's the pinnacle of hockey, and you, like, there's a lot of history with it, and it's somewhere that every kid should want to play.
Got your first practice under your belt there this morning. Slight change in scenery, perhaps, from Murrayfield. Did it all go well?
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, it was pretty high tempo from there. It was just a few more players, for sure. But, yeah, no, it was good to get on the ice after, like, about a week off and whatnot. But the guys were very welcoming, and, you know, it felt good to be out there, just to be back. Every time you get back on the ice, you're always a little nervous with a new team and whatnot, but it was exciting, and I was happy to be there.
You jump straight into action tomorrow night now in Manchester. Big cup quarterfinal for us. You excited about a fresh start, and what can the Giants fans expect from you?
Yeah, I just think I'm going to be a guy who competes every single night. It's something that I don't really know where my role fits in with the club yet, but, like, wherever I'm slated, I'm just going to work my tail off. That's all I can control is my work ethic. And hopefully I can be a big, helping things get back to the normal way of winning around here.
And the home debut obviously coming up this weekend to follow, doubleheader v Coventry. Are you looking forward to playing at the SSE and skating out from the home tunnel this time?
Yeah, absolutely. No, like I've played here a couple times this year, and it's somewhere you get excited to play because there's lots of fans in the stands and they're passionate. So it's going to be a little different coming out of a different tunnel, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's exciting to play with a few guys who I've played with before, and it's something that it can't come soon enough.
Giants are on a four-game losing skid at the minute. Are you looking forward to helping be part of the solution to change things around?
Yeah, I don't think one player will always be a solution. I think adversity hits every team. It's just how you handle it. You know, I know it's not ideal, but you got to kind of just put that in the past and, like, just move forward and work hard and try to do the simple things to get back on a winning way. You're getting to the point where the Challenge Cup's here in Wetzel on Wednesday. That's a pretty important thing. But, like, they're also worrying about playing great, proper system hockey on Friday, Saturday when you play a good team like Coventry. It's something that all the teams are getting much better at this time of year. And for this team, like, coming from Edinburgh, where, like, every time we played Belfast, it was quite a hard team to play. They played their structure so well. And I'm happy just to be a part of that now. And hopefully we can do something very special. But for me, it's just I'm really thankful for the opportunity, and I'm honestly ecstatic to be here. There's really no words that can describe it. So I think you're going to see a lot of effort out of me, and hopefully I can do anything to help this club.
Well, David, we'll look forward to catching up with you tomorrow night in Manchester, and good luck in your time in Belfast.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, having seen the Capitals a few times early in the season, he was the one guy who stood out, and I think that was more from the point of view of him being a bit of a pest. And you know, I think he took a few suspensions early on there as well. So he's the kind of guy that isn't afraid to get involved and mix it up. And I know that a couple of weeks back after the Steelers games, Coach Walser was talking about how, and it's something we've seen all year, how the guys, you know, we're a very much a peripheral team. We're shooting from the outside, whereas at the other end, you know, we're letting teams in on top of Murphy and letting them, you know, scoring from 5-6 yards out rather than shooting from the periphery like ourselves. So I think that's a key. You know, I think Rutherford will be good from that point of view. He looks like the kind of guy who'd be willing to go into those areas, get in front of the goalie, get in tight and take a few hits and give a few back and probably just be a little bit more direct and physical, which is something we've lacked. And it's a bit out of left field. I think a lot of people would talked about whenever Walser suggested changes, I've seen, you know, we mentioned it on our Twitter, and I saw a lot of people talk about the changes that we could make being on the D. So I think this one's come a little bit out of left field, but I think it's someone, or it's the kind of player that we needed, and it'll be interesting to see if he can make a few guys follow into the trenches.
Davey, it's going to be, I know you're going to be interested for one tomorrow night, seeing where he fits into the lines, and can you see him jumping straight up into that first line? Is there anyone in particular in the Giants lineup that needs to look at him coming in and be a little bit concerned about their own role within the team?
Hetty, if I'm brutally honest. Hetty, if I'm brutally honest, I think that top line of Raja, Beach and Demaray are the line that probably needs shaking up a wee bit, because over the Christmas period, they were absolutely outstanding. Over the last couple of weekends, they just haven't produced. I think the Forney Higgins Benedict line was exceptional at the weekend. You know what you're going to get with Keith and Lloyd. So I think the healthy scratch, if that's the question you're asking me, come Wednesday night, could well come from that top line. I think Demaray and Beach could well do with a rest for a start. They've played a lot of hockey over the last lot of weeks, and, you know, it could be just a good time to give one of them a night off and get a bit of extra juice in their legs for the weekend. Big games coming up against one of the up-and-coming teams in Coventry. So I think they're probably the line that at the minute would be under the most pressure.
So the game, Aaron, tomorrow night in Manchester, it's maybe a bit of a welcome distraction for the Giants. They move away from the league play. They have this cup quarterfinal. Manchester had a really tough weekend. They were in Brayhead. They were in Edinburgh, where they got a cracking win. Then they had to come home and play at Fife on Sunday with their shortened bench. So would you say it's going to be, in a way, nice for the Giants to have this alternative prize to aim for on Wednesday?
I think it will. I think it's good in a couple of ways. First of all, as you say, it takes it's a bit of pressure off, because it's a game that it's just something different, really. You know, they're not going to be looking at a league table at the end of it. It'll be pretty tangible if they get a result that, you know, coming into next week, that they know that it's paid off. You know, from that point of view, yeah, it'll be nice. And I think also it's a good game to have a new guy coming into the lineup. It's a chance maybe to, I mean, I know we're having sort of fallen out of the league title. I think we'll have to look at the Challenge Cup with maybe a little bit more of a serious eye, but I think it's a good chance to maybe try a few new combinations to bring the new guy, you know, into the lineup and maybe mix lines up or defensive pairings and something like that. So yeah, I think it's maybe come at the right time, and if we can get back on the winning sort of, you know, back on the winning bandwagon prior to the weekend, it would be very welcome.
And Davey, with it being a first leg, I'm sure the Giants are going to want to get a win to boost confidence after the last two weekends. But what realistically will Derek Walser want to take back to the SSE Arena from this fixture?
I think Walser will be looking for a much improved performance from the team first and foremost. I would assume that we'll be going all out for a win, and you would expect, with the greatest of respect to Manchester, you would expect to go in there and take a win. And go back to the SSE, you know, with a comfortable enough situation. For me, we just need to get back to our systems. We need to get back to Belfast Giants hockey, which is that, you know, I know it's the corny Americanism, but the blue collar type of hockey that the Belfast Giants play is when we are our most successful. When we get pucks deep, when we go and get body on body, and we turn pucks over, and we get shots on goals, and we have got some of the cream of the crop in the elite league. I think you'd say that as a part-time Steeler, full-time Giant. You know, we have got some fantastic goal scorers in this team. Demaray, Forney, Beach, Higgins. The list, you literally rhyme off some of the MVPs of this league, and they're not producing enough, you know, in a 60-minute stint or enough in game after game. So I think Walser will be looking for big performances, especially with the Rutherford sort of element coming in now, that he's got a choice to make up front. He's got a big choice to make come, you know, it's maybe not as big a decision for, you know, a Challenge Cup match, especially over two legs, but everyone's playing for their place on Friday night in the SSE. So I think boys will maybe just hopefully just release a wee bit and, you know, go into Manchester with a good attitude and come out on the right side.
I mean, would you agree with that, Arne? Do you think that this really isn't a game that the Giants can afford to lose, especially in terms of the confidence that they want to build moving into two I would argue, more important games against the Blaze.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's a chance to get back to winning ways, but losing it could just be the final straw, and things could, you know, having lost four in a row, things could very, very quickly escalate. The Blaze are a much improved side. We'll be talking about that later in the week and looking forward to that later in the week. But, yeah, I think we probably do need to get this this win and try and use that as the catalyst more than anything else. You know, the Challenge Cup's a nice extra to have, and it's nice to be involved, especially, you know, as we've said, with our league title looking a lot thinner. But, you know, we can't afford to go to somewhere like Manchester. I know they beat us in the SSE previously, but we just can't afford to lose to teams that are in the position that the Storm are in at the minute.
Well, you will be able to listen to tomorrow's game on Downtown Radio. I believe, Davey, it's going to be on, is it medium wave and online over back in the beautiful country of Northern Ireland?
It's going to be on AM radio in Northern Ireland, and it'll be on the World Wide Web on the internet.
So, yeah, so it'll be David Majimsey and the one and the only Simon Kitchen, the heartthrob of the Northern Hemisphere. And yeah, you make sure you listen to that, because I think it's going to be a bit of a cracker. And the Storm are obviously in a position where they're trying to fight Aaron for a playoff spot, because they're in that kind of group of three or four teams down at the bottom of the league that, well, there seems to be two groups, six teams that think they can still win the league, four teams trying to get into the last two playoff spots. But for the Storm, in their first season under Neil Russell and having this kind of new dynasty, the Challenge Cup's a good opportunity for them to actually put something together and get a bit of glory.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you mentioned the dynasty there. I know they've been putting championship banners up in the Storm shelter. Whether you agree with that or not, I suppose it would be nice for them to take this chance and have it, you know, as a new banner to put up next year, one that they actually deserve.
So Davey caught up with the player coach of the Manchester Storm, Omar Pasha, and here were his thoughts about tomorrow night's game.
We're joined by Storm head coach Omar Pasha. And Pash, big night tomorrow, first leg of the Challenge Cup quarterfinal, home to Belfast. You must be looking forward to what's a big game in the context of your first season.
It's a big opportunity for us. You know, the Challenge Cup quarterfinals. You know, we were in the tough group with Cardiff, Nottingham, Sheffield, Coventry. So to get through that was a good accomplishment, but as of now, we're looking at this as a good opportunity and a chance to, you know, to have a good home game to start the quarterfinals.
And the Giants have made a roster move this week, and due to a number of factors through the season, you've changed things about as you've gone along. Have you looking to change anything else before the window closes?
Yeah, I mean, there's always the last few 2-3 weeks we've obviously opened our eyes a lot more. Keeping agents in the loop, and they're keeping me in the loop, and you know, we're not shutting any doors. As of now, there's a few guys that we are interested in, but you know, it all comes down to finance, and also you know, they basically convincing them to come. But you know what, we're still keeping in touch with a lot of players, and you know what, you never know what can happen with injuries or whatever. But yeah, there is that possibility. But for now, you know what, we have the roster set for tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
You know, your GM likes to make it known in public that it's been a very busy 6 months for you. So, you know, sitting on Hull 6 months ago, you couldn't have envisaged just how much everything would change in such a short space of time. Is it something you're really enjoying?
Yeah, it's fine. You know, sometimes my GM likes to over-exaggerate at times, but, you know, I don't think there's enough hours in a day for him, especially for his smoke breaks. But it's been quite enjoyable. But you know, there's the hardest part of the job is coming up for the next 2 months. You know, trying to qualify for the playoffs and also trying to move on in this Challenge Cup. You know, it's like I said, it's a great opportunity for our club to we're still in the race and we can get some silverware. So we're not looking past that. And obviously the regular season, there's 17 games left. And you know what? We've been playing better recently, so we're hoping to get on a little bit of a streak here and give ourselves a chance to be in the top eight.
Well, you brought it up there. Last weekend was a big weekend. You moved yourselves off the bottom of the table. Do you realistically think you can chase down that eighth spot?
I think so. I think everybody here believes it. Nothing's going to be easy. I think everybody knows it's going to be tough for every team in the league, especially, you know, the ones fighting for the league championship, but also the teams fighting for the last playoff spots. And, you know, it's going to come down to the wire, I think. And we just got to keep plugging away, keep playing hard. And, you know, you look back at last weekend, we had a good 25 first minutes in Brea, then we crumbled a bit, and we still played some good hockey there and went into Edinburgh. We got two big points, and we came home. We started off well. We were all right during the whole game, and unfortunately, our PK let us down a bit, and, you know, we went over overtime and then in a shootout, and, you know, a shootout is anybody's game. And but at the same time, like I said, there's 17 games left, and we're 4 points behind the playoff spot. They have a few games in hand, but, you know, we're playing them. We're playing the teams ahead of us a few more times then. So it's still, everything's possible, but we know we have to steal points against teams that maybe we're not supposed to. But, you know, we're not looking and we're not thinking here it's finished. We still have high hopes, and we still believe.
Let's have a quick look towards tonight's game, as it will be when this show goes out. You've had some signings that maybe haven't worked out for you this season, but you've had some guys that have maybe produced at maybe a higher level than where you were maybe expecting. You know, Siska, Scarsella, Thule, and Correa, all sort of around a point or over a point a game. What's the key to the game tomorrow night for you, player-wise?
I think our last few home games, we've played well, but we always have to make sure to be steady defensively. And yeah, these guys are putting up numbers, but at the same time, all our nine forwards have to play well defensively and play well in front of our goalie. And I think sometimes we have to realize that, you know what, taking less chances will probably help our team more. And you know, tonight against Belfast, it's gonna be about the work rate, the defensive play, and you know, chipping pucks behind their D and working them all night. And you know, obviously we always count on our goalie to make some big saves, but we always have that offensive power to, you know, to score a big goal or to score a few goals in the game. So I'm never worried about that. But obviously my concern going into the game is how well we're going to play defensively. And unfortunately, last week we didn't play great defensively. We conceded some goals that I'm sure we would all like to have back. Our PK wasn't good. So this week and tonight especially, we're focusing on having a good penalty kill and obviously, you know, playing well defensively, chipping pucks out, making sure we're always collapsing in the slot and, you know, getting in front of lanes and boxing out so our goalie can see the puck coming.
And I suppose hockey, it's a game you never like to look more than one game in advance, but, you know, short time, you've only been around a short time. Have you just got one eye on, you know, recruiting for next season already and looking forward into next year?
Even in December, November, you always look around. You always touch base with agents. I know I'm very active. Even last year in Hull, I think it was November and December, I was already talking to a few guys that I wanted to sign, and that's the same thing here. I always like to look into it early and often, like people say, because you never know what can happen. You look at it this year, you know, our team folded in a hole, and then we had to go into Manchester, and I had some good contacts, so it made it a bit easier to get the players at last minute a bit. But no, I think it's always important to keep in touch and to always keep your eyes open for the future, for sure.
Well, Posh, we really appreciate your time. We'll see you tonight, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you too, Davey. Have a good day.
So a big thank you there to Omar Pasha for his time and for the access to the Manchester Storm firm, Neil Russell. He obviously owes us something. So, yes, thank you very much for your time in this first edition of the week for A View from the Bridge. I hope it hasn't taken too much of your beautiful days up. We will be back with you on Thursday to assess what happened in Manchester and also look ahead to the two huge clashes with the Coventry Blaze at the SSC Arena this weekend. We'll also be hearing from Mike Forney, Chuck Webber, and also you'll be hearing from, well, they're always here, aren't they, David and Aaron. Are you both here with us on Thursday, guys?
I'll be here, yes.
No, I'm not. I'm away to Boston tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, we'll have to get a stand-in. Hashtag I'll stand in. Get tweeting, guys. We'll draft someone in, but nobody that swears, please, but this is a family show. Davey and Aaron, one last word from you both before we we cut to the outro and hear the beautiful dulcet tones of David McGimsey once more. Can I have a prediction for tomorrow night? Give me a score. What do you reckon?
You go first, Aaron.
I think we will claim a 3-2 win.
I think it'll be more comfortable than that.
One more question. Will we see Dicko at all, do you reckon?
No.
No.
So there we have it. That's the January the 19th, 2016 edition of View from the Bridge. I've been Mark Hitchcock. I'm not Patrick Smith. He's in Canada. Follow his Twitter if you care what he's doing. And I will catch you later this week. Stay beautiful.